from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome to Nightlight. Oh, yeah. Let's do this, man. It is Wednesday night in Wisconsin. Gorgeous day. We're done with work. We're done talking politics. We're done arguing with family, being in traffic. It's time. It's time to light this thing and talk about the things we like to talk about, the things that bring us together, like movies and TV, entertainment, things that make us laugh. That's what we do here on Nightlight. Conrad, am I right or am I right?
Oh, you are right.
You're ready with that answer. Yes, I am right. We got a fun show tonight. Riding shotgun, producing the show is Conrad, the lovely and talented Conrad Krieger, ladies and gentlemen.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time you've done that.
I meant lovely soul, not in a weird way. You're a good soul. And it's fun to do this. So we're going to get some text tonight because I got a really cool question. So yeah. I hope your thumbs are ready. I hope you're ready to respond.
Of course.
Discuss, as always. Okay. And I have really fun guests on the show tonight. Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center in Madison to discuss upcoming shows. They have so many shows going on at the Overture. I know they have multiple stages, but it's almost like they have more shows than they have stages because their upcoming events calendar is like overwhelming. So Tim will walk us through it. He'll tell us what shows we should see if we're on the fence about anything and the different shows they have. They have kids shows, comedy shows, dance shows, Broadway shows, all kinds of stuff. Tim will be here at 7:35. And Tim is always up to date on TV, film. I remember, was it the last time he was here, Conrad? We talked for like 40 minutes just about what he was watching on TV.
Yeah.
Guy is a prolific TV watcher. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Tim. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, our old pal Frank Hermans stops by. He's talking about a show that they are, I think, opens next week, May 8th at the Meyer, called Girls on Thin Ice. Do I have that right? I have my notes in front of me. But Frank will be here, and he's always so much fun. So we'll talk about the show with Frank. And I don't know how this guy does it. They put up like 150 shows since he's been doing this. And pretty remarkable career, an incredibly prolific guy, considering what he's done. And I think we've talked about this before. I knew Frank when he owned a comedy club with his brother Mike here in Green Bay. Both great guys. And I don't think he was even starting, you know, he was always, I think he said he studied musical theater in college. So he's always been a great singer. But I don't think Let Me Be Frank was even a thing then. So that was like not till like, what, 2000 or something like that? We'll ask Frank this. But my point is the guy is a machine. And one to be admired. Really, really incredible work that he does here in Green Bay in Northeast Wisconsin. So I'm excited to talk to Frank and have him stop by the studio. That'll be fun. As always, although he hasn't been here in a while, remember he sang Elvis last time I think he was here, Conrad.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So we might surprise Frank with some Elvis trivia. We'll see how he does. And a lot of fun birthdays today. What are you watching, Conrad? You were sick. You went to a wedding last weekend.
Yeah.
You had Monday off. You came back and you got sick right away because of allergies, and those can be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a brutal Sunday and Monday for me. So, but you know,
I can kind of hear it in your voice right now, actually.
Those allergies just give me every single year.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Do you take something for it?
Yeah. I took some allergy medicine this morning.
Okay.
So some symptoms have gone away, and now it's just my nose.
All right.
You can hear it.
It sounds kind of cool, though. Remember that Friends episode where Phoebe had a cold and she loved the way her voice sounded when she sang? That's kind of, and then, maybe you could work with that, you know.
When she finally got better, she was hoping to get sick again.
Right. She was trying to get sick, so she got her bluesy voice back. Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, yeah, I watched the series Knuckles. It's only 6 episodes.
How is that?
It was, you know, honestly, it was pretty funny. I don't know. If you like Sonic, you like it. If it's just that first time watching Sonic, you'd be like, what is this?
One of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed Knuckles. It, though.
All right, that's cool. I'll add that to the list. I've got a... it's brutal when these shows, you know, it used to be they would drop everything all at once, and I loved TV again. And now it's they're dropping an episode a week, and I'm watching the show Under the Bridge. So tonight, they drop a new episode. I'm like, do I watch it tonight? Or do I try to hold off? I usually like to have at least two episodes of a show, because then it's like a movie. Because watching one a week, like 40 minutes, it's kind of like, you know. So I don't know. I'll have to see. Maybe I'll push it off till next week. Try to hold off and watch two episodes of it next week. But that's my show right now. And yeah, so I saw this. We have to talk about this because Todd Michaels, our boss, and he's very bossy, by the way. Todd, well, listening. Thinks he's so big. Anyway, Todd is great. He sends out these sheets with all these fun tidbits. And I saw that there are only a few countries in the world where the drinking age is as old as 21. Like, our drinking age in America is the oldest drinking age in the world, I think. The most common legal drinking age in the world is 18. Some states or some countries don't even have a drinking age. It's just kind of up to the parents and what people decide. And maybe that's the way it should be here. I don't know. The problem is when you get behind a car. And you know, your brain is still developing. I think your brain is developing till you're like 25. So you have to be careful with alcohol consumption and whatever you put into your body if your brain is still developing. But it used to be 18 in Wisconsin. When I graduated high school, I could go into a bar and have a drink. And there were seniors where I went to high school when I was a freshman. I know that's what they did at their lunch hour. There was a bar down the street in Marinette called the Red Brick. And I was like a freshman. I remember the seniors said they would go there. They'd come back soused for their afternoon classes in high school. I might be wrong about that. The drinking age might have been, I think I was grandfathered and they switched it to 19. I think because of that, because they didn't want high school kids going to the bars. So they made it 19, but I got grandfathered in because I was 18. My wife, who is 6 months younger than me, was not old enough to get grandfathered in. So she had to wait. And then obviously they raised it to 21. And I know it's a serious issue because they had, you know, in the 80s, they had these border deaths down in Illinois because kids from Illinois would come up to Wisconsin to drink and then drive home drunk. And there was a lot of accidents. So it's a tough issue. But I do feel like, if you can go fight in a war, you should be able to have a beer. If you're going to fire a gun at someone else, a government-issued gun at someone else, you should be able to have a beer. So what are the solutions? You just not have a drinking age, leave it up to the parents and hope that people practice moderation while your brain is still developing and hope that ideally no one gets behind the wheel of a car, but do you entrust kids to do that? That's the problem. It's a tough issue, but that's tonight's question. How old, what do you think the drinking age should be here in Wisconsin or anywhere for that matter? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know what you think the drinking age should be. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's 21, whether we like it or not. And look, the cops aren't going to bust into your house if you give your kid a glass of wine when they're 19. So I don't think it's like a serious issue. But anyway, let's go to the phones. We got a phone call. Who do you have, Conrad?
Yeah, this is Charles from Green Bay.
Hey, Charles, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Your data on that is a little incorrect unless you're in your 70s.
Oh, do tell.
There were beer bars when they were in 70s. Back in the early, well, 69, 70.
Okay.
You had to be 18 to go. You had to be 18 to go to the beer bar. You could not drink liquor unless you were with your parents in a bar or at home. you were limited to beer, and there were specific bars that were set up for 18-year-olds. Your idea of your friends going in Marinette, going to the Red Brick, and coming home sauced they were drinking illegally.
Well, that might have been.
I don't think you guys are. I don't think you're 70. You know, I'm 72.
Okay.
And I'm also from Marinette.
No way.
And the Red Brick. No, yeah, way.
Okay.
And the Red Brick, they would go down there and they would drink illegally and then come back. But, you know, when I was in school, we would drink, we would go to the bars. There was one called Moz. It was out in Porterfield area. There was a couple other ones that were out there. And, yeah, you got your little data wrong there, buddy.
Well, listen, I don't claim to be a journalist when it comes to drinking in the state of Wisconsin. I will say, here on what I like to call the Google, the 1983 Wisconsin Act 74, effective July 1, 1984, created a drinking age of 19. That was in 1984. And that's how
that's
I got...
84.
Yeah, 84. That's how I got grandfathered in. So,
right.
And maybe they were beer bars, as you say, and maybe the... Maybe kids were sneaking into the bar. That might be. I find it hard to believe a bar. Thanks so much for the call, Charles, too, by the way. Have a great night there in Marinette, buddy. Go to an 18. Go to a
Bye.
Beer bar and toast a nightlight, please. Thanks for the call.
I will.
All right. So in 1984, that must have been what I was grandfathered in, what I was thinking about. But I don't know. I really like to think a bar would not serve kids in high school, even if they thought they were 18. So the drinking age in Wisconsin was 18 in 1983, changed it in 1984 to 19. Buys you 1 year. I don't know. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be there next Tuesday night doing a remote. Going to be a lot of fun. Let us know, what should the drinking age be in Wisconsin, folks? That's tonight's question, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. More fun talk on Nightlight. Coming up next, it's Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Drinking age be in our state. It is currently 21. America has some of the highest drinking ages in the world. I understand why it's 21. I don't know that I agree with it, but it is a tough issue. Drinking age was 18 in Wisconsin until 1983. So technically, when I was a freshman, the seniors could go out and drink. And maybe they were going to a beer bar. As Charles said, that could be. But I don't know. Hey, Conrad, you sent me that thing. That was really funny, by the way, the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
We played. Okay. Did we play that? We did play it, even though it was just laughter. Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
So on Saturday Night Live, about a week and a half ago, Heidi Gardner played the host of a roundtable discussion about AI. Kenan Thompson was the guest, who was this AI expert. And he pointed out in the crowd behind the host, behind Heidi Gardner, that Beavis was sitting in the crowd. It was Ryan Gosling dressed as Beavis, and he acted like he was clueless, like he didn't even know who Beavis was. He said his name was Dean or something like that, but he was Beavis. They made a move, and then when Heidi Gardner turned around again, when Kenan Thompson called attention to the fact that Butthead is now in the crowd, she turned around and lost her mind laughing. And Mikey Day looks so funny as Butthead. So the video has gotten like 13 million hits on YouTube. It's very popular. I watched it like 20 times, just showing people. We played it here, you know. We certainly contributed to that, but it was a very funny skit. sketch, I guess I should say. And honestly, Heidi Gardner laughing hysterically throughout the sketch is what made it. It used to bother me when they would laugh on Saturday Night Live at their own sketches, because a lot of times they just lose it. They're not even that funny. It's just the pressure of the moment getting to them and they laugh. But anyway, this was totally warranted. It was hilarious. And now at the Fall Guy premiere in LA, was that last night, Conrad?
I believe it was the weekend. That movie came out, I think, on Sunday.
Fall Guy opens this weekend, doesn't it?
Oh, it.
I think it opens Friday. So they probably did the premiere, I'm guessing, last night, maybe Monday, or even the weekend. But Beavis and Butthead, Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day, dressed up as Beavis and Butthead again and went to the red carpet where Emily Blunt was being interviewed and kind of crashed the red carpet. Ryan Gosling is also in the Fall Guy with Emily Blunt. I have to say, it was not, they weren't that funny on the red carpet.
It's so awkward to just have them walking down the red carpet like that.
It is. And they look so funny. But like Ryan Gosling, you could tell not a whole lot of thought went into what they were going to say. They kind of just repeated stuff they said on Saturday Night Live, but they look so funny in those costumes. Great stuff. So Conrad said he was watching, what were you watching again?
It was called Knuckles.
Knuckles, that's right.
Yes.
So this past weekend, I watched Liam Neeson's new film, In the Land of Saints and Sinners. And Liam Neeson, as many of you know, people love his movies. He gets a lot of movies made. They're all kind of the same. They're all typically revenge, you know, threatening his family, like the Taken series and some films after that. What was the ice movie he did? The movie with the snowplow. He did The Gray. I actually liked The Gray a lot. It was kind of depressing, but he leads a group of people off a plane crash. He's trying to protect them, and he leads them right into a wolf's den. And these people get picked off. Cold Pursuit was the
Just about to say.
Yeah. Anyway, he at the end of the film, and I won't say what happens. I won't give you the actual ending, but I assume the statute of limitations on spoiler alerts expires after about 12 years. It just ends up being Liam Neeson in the wolf's den with the king wolf. And he wraps these bottles around his hand from the airline, these little alcohol bottles, and tapes them onto his hands. And then he charges the wolf, and that's the end of the movie. And it's so cool. But In the Land of Saints and Sinners, it's different. It's an actual movie. He plays kind of a tough guy. He's a mob enforcer in Ireland. But he wants more out of life, and he wants to garden, and he wants to enjoy his what's left of his life. But he crossed paths with the Irish Republican Army, the IRA. This particular little group led by Kerry Condon, who's really good. It's a great cast. And there's a little bit of action, but mostly it's just a nice story. I recommend it. I thought it was really good. I watched it this weekend, and I really did enjoy it. So there you go. There's a recommendation if you're looking for something for the weekend coming up. And I want to say, oh, actually, it's on demand. We did have to rent it. So, also, Kevin James had a birthday this weekend, or was it, I think it was Monday, Conrad, actually. So, I probably like Mall Cop.
Yeah.
More than most people.
It's a great movie.
Oh, you like it too? Good.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not that much older than my son. Like, when I took him, I liked it so much because it was something we could watch together. And I think we've played this clip a few months ago, but I want to play it again. This is Kevin James. Getting into a fight with a woman in a bra store, lingerie store. They call him. He's the mall cop, obviously. And here's what happens.
I found it first.
No, you didn't.
Ladies, problem. What's the genesis?
She's trying to take the last push-up bra on this size.
Well, I need this one now. I have a date tonight.
Really? Is he blind?
Whoa, waterproof shoes and baggies on the socks. Not my first rodeo. Okay, ladies, need to see some ID.
No, you don't.
Ma'am, I should warn you, I do have the authority to make a citizen's arrest.
So does anyone. I could arrest you right now.
That's true, she could.
Hey, not talking to you. Okay?
Can I see you for a second, please, ma'am?
Look, I understand your sensitivity,
I've had some issues with weight myself.
Are you calling me fat?
No. I'm just saying I've been down that road. I mean, I'm still on it. We both are, you know, stranded. Let's face it, we eat to fill a void, right? But as soon as I started eating healthier, I noticed I wasn't so moody. And P.S., your skin's gonna clear up.
Can you hold on to these?
Sure.
It's funny. I know that, like, whenever we play clips from a movie, I try to pick stuff that's obviously dialogue or audio driven. And but there's something about him getting punched in that totally works for me over the radio.
Him just screaming back up.
Right. And then I think the next scene they cut to is him and the other guy on the Segway, I think they're called.
Yeah.
It's like, I think backup's a pretty universal term. Seems like you should have known what that was. The citizen's arrest thing is great, too. All right, coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, we welcome Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
If you have not checked out the news podcast roundup on the Civic Media website, check it out. You can find it on the top of every local radio station page at civicmedia.us. It just says news roundup. It's right there at the top. You get sports, weather, actual news, and entertainment. So we roll it all into one. It takes about 8 minutes to get through the whole thing. You can't go wrong. Great way to stay informed. Hopefully we do the Hollywood Minute here, and hopefully that will make you laugh a little bit and keep you informed about what's going on in the world of show business. So check it out. The news. Did you hear that laugh?
What was that?
That was Frank. Okay, so Frank Hermans is coming on the show at 8:05 or sometime after 8, whenever he can get over here from rehearsal. And I checked out his website to look at this show. And randomly, when you scroll down, you just hear Frank laugh on the website. They have it programmed, and it scared the living daylights out of me before. And I forgot about it, and it scared me now, too. Okay, Frank will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome one of my favorite guests. He comes to us from Madison, Wisconsin. And he works at the Overture Center for the Performing Arts. He is the Artistic Experiences Director. I hope I got that right. And his name is Tim Sowers. Tim, welcome back to Nightlight.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me, Pete.
As always, it's my pleasure. And Conrad and I were just talking about the fact that last time you were here, I think you were watching actually more television than I was. So as much as I'm excited to find out what's going on at the Overture Center, I can't wait till that part of our conversation either and find out what you got going on color TV. So how are things at the Overture, Tim?
Good. We just announced our new season next year.
Some great shows.
It's our 20th anniversary season, and we had a live event on Monday night and streamed it, and people are pretty excited. You know, they love their shows here in Madison.
Yeah. I was just saying before, I was looking out at the new season, and then I was looking at what you have. And when you just Google the Overture Center, all these shows come up. Some of them have overlapping dates. And I forget you have more than one stage there. You have different theaters. It seems right. Like you have more shows there than you have theaters, though. How do you manage all that?
I know. I think it's true. It's like we have a great crew. Like we have a great production team who, you know, load in all these shows and work these shows, and you know, everybody gets behind them, and we do. You know, when I excuse me,
sure.
When I first got to Madison, this month will be celebrating my 16th anniversary, and
oh, nice.
We didn't have nearly as many shows as we do now. And I think it's because the community has grown and our Broadway just knocks it off the charts now. And I think that just brings more people, more visibility, and so more shows, right? And
yeah. So what is this show? I'm just going to ask you about some of these randomly. I hope I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to have in-depth info on all the shows, but I assume you have some at least. What is the Great Gatsby Prom?
I don't know. What is it? That's not mine.
It's
Great Gatsby Prom?
That's what it says. Unless it's like some sort of thing you guys do for teens or something.
There might be. No, because I oversee all that. Maybe it's a rental in our building.
Okay. All right, so
I'm looking it up right now.
If you're listening, steer clear of Great Gatsby Prom.
Great Gatsby Prom. Well, you know, Great Gatsby's on Broadway right now.
Right.
There's a new musical, and then there's a second musical in development called Gatsby.
This was Gatsby for sure, and it came up on Google. Like when you Google
Gatsby, Gatsby. How do you spell Gatsby?
G-A-T-S-B-Y.
S-B-Y. Yes, it's Madison West High School's prom. They're doing a Great Gatsby theme.
Oh, okay.
Because we do quite a bit of prom. We have quite a bit of high school proms in our building, which is kind of cool, right?
It is cool.
It is cool. I love when they come in. We'll do some stuff with the UW, too, with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, with some like formals. There'll be some sorority party kind of stuff there. And it's nice to get all the young people in the building.
But probably not something for us adults to crash.
No.
Okay.
I'd stay away from it.
I did think it was weird because I love the show, The Great Gatsby. I loved the book. I like all things Gatsby. And I thought, what is this? I thought maybe it was like a satirical take on The Great Gatsby. But
no, sorry to disappoint you.
That's okay. Maybe I'll get writing. Who knows? How do the Second City shows? I see you got a Second City troupe coming in.
Oh, great. You know, they're a long annual group for us that comes up, you know, Chicago, the big second city, and the comedy, and we always do pretty well with that. People love comedy,
definitely,
and particularly right now people really love comedy.
Absolutely. Right?
Our the comedians we have, we just had I had taken a group to New York. We took a whole group of our donor subscribers to New York to see a bunch of shows and stuff, and I think it was like two Sundays ago we got back, and I had an hour, and we had Kathy Griffin in.
Oh, nice.
And man, she's a survivor.
She is.
I mean, God, she's gone through crazy stuff since she did her, you know, political thing that everybody hated. And
yeah,
and it was kind of fun to have her back and tell her story through humor and, you know, poke fun at all the celebrities. She was super nice, super sweet person. And it was fun to support her and be able to have her, you know, go back on the road again after all the years when she couldn't.
Right. No, I've only met her once, and it was like in the late 90s, and she wasn't Kathy Griffin necessarily yet, but
I would
love to know. And you kind of just told me that she's pretty much still the same person despite all that drama that she went through.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I can say this because she talked about it in her show, right? Like, you know, when she was ousted, she didn't have anything to do and it drove her crazy.
Yeah.
Then she talked about being, you know, addicted to pills and had to go through rehab.
Oh, wow.
Then she tried to kill herself and had to go get locked up for a few days. Then she had cancer and had half a lung removed, and then they damaged her vocal cord.
Is this all since the Trump thing?
Yeah. All of this has happened to her since the Trump thing. And I was just like, wow, you are a survivor.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Did you ever see the Seinfeld episode where she plays Kathy Weaver and she writes a one woman show about I Hate Jerry? That's one of my favorite Seinfelds of all time.
Listen, she was an influence to me back in the day when I lived in Chicago. She used to play a lot at Center East in Skokie.
Okay.
Before she really became anything. And she would come out on stage with just a note card that she'd lay on her stool. And at one of the shows, she said, you know, I don't really have a set order here. I have, these are the things that I want to talk about, and I'll get them in the show at some point. That's how I public speak now as a public speaker. It takes all the stress out of it. So it's like, here's what I need to accomplish when I'm talking to a group or doing something, and whatever order they come out in, they'll come out.
Wow, that's gutsy. That's crazy.
Well,
good for her.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah,
definitely. Right. All right. So the big one, or one of the big ones I think you guys have in 2005 is, or 2025. Is, or no, it's later this year, actually. It's in the fall. Steve Martin and Martin Short.
I know. It's so fun to have them back.
So they've been there before. Okay. It's the Dukes of Funny Town. Is that the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that kind of an extension of what they did on Netflix, or what can we look forward to? Well,
they, kind of. And they just, you know, do their thing. You know, sometimes you never know what to expect with them.
Yeah.
When they come out. Yeah. We've had, this will be the third time that they'll come in the building, and they'll be a hot ticket.
They'll sell fast, yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, right now, though, they can, which is really great, it's helping to drive our subscription. So you can only get tickets for them if you subscribe to three or more shows. So, that's a nice little start before they have their single ticket on sale. Because I remember in the past, whenever we put them on sale, it's like that day those tickets are gone.
Right. Have you seen the Steve Martin documentary on Apple TV, the two parts?
No, but it's on my list. Somebody was just talking about it at work today and how much they loved it.
The first part of it is so great, Tim, just how Steve Martin became Steve Martin. I didn't know any of it, really. It's just phenomenal.
I mean, he's phenomenal. I remember growing up with that two wild and crazy guys on Saturday Night Live back in the day, right?
And his albums, like, I remember listening as a kid. Yeah. I was probably not even a teenager. I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be hearing a lot of this right now. So, but it was like,
well, you know, a few years ago, he had a very critically acclaimed Broadway musical that he and Edie Brickell put together,
right?
Called Bright Star, and I loved the show. I was fortunate when I saw it in New York. He had come in for a period of time and was playing in the pit orchestra with them.
Oh my gosh.
And so I got to see him play, and and that was really, really great.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. So yeah, that one must be a home run for you guys. Are they there one night or two?
Just one night.
Okay. Tell us about Shamilton.
I know, right? There's this cool, I've been gone the last couple of years to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival over in Scotland, and I saw this company called Baby Wants Candy, and what they do is they do get the idea from the audience and get some things from the audience, and they do a full-fledged musical based on what they get from the audience.
Oh, that is great.
And they're really good. And then there's another show they had there that I went to see is called Shamilton. And what they do with Shamilton is ask the audience for a real life person, a political figure, a fictional character, celebrity. And then the audience they're smart who they choose from that. And then the audience votes on who they like best. And they do a full fledged musical in the style of Hamilton.
Oh, that's great.
They're very talented. And, you know, I met them over in Scotland, and they have three troops in the States, and one's in Chicago, LA, and New York. And I'm like, oh, you were just down the street, and they never knew you were there. Super sweet. We had them live at our season announcement. They did a 15 minute kind of plug for their show, and they were very well received.
Oh, that's great. I wonder if I should even ask you this, because I'm sure you probably toe the company line, and I would not blame you if you did. Hamilton. I liked it. I didn't love it. I know everybody tells me I should have loved it, and it's not like I wasn't entertained, but I couldn't get into it, Tim.
Well, you know,
am I not cool?
It's kind of a brilliant. it's a brilliant piece.
No question.
It is a brilliant piece of theater, and it came out at just the right time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those shows that was so word of mouth.
Right.
That people just couldn't get enough of it. And it's a phenomenon, yeah, if you ask me.
It absolutely is. And I don't deny that. And it's not like I didn't like it. I wanted to like it more. Maybe I heard too much about it going into it, but I appreciated everything they did, the writing, the approach, creatively, everything. But anyway, Stella Cole is coming next May. Does she have a boyfriend? I'm asking for Conrad. Right?
Listen to her voice. We do this cabaret series.
Beautiful.
Where in Capitol Theater, we build this platform in the house, and the artists are on the kind of the makeshift stage platform looking onto the stage, and the audience has dinner and everything before the show, sitting on the stage looking into the house.
Oh, cool.
And it's just a beautiful, intimate experience. So we usually do three of those, and they're usually Broadway, jazz. And I don't know, I didn't know her. She was recommended to me by an artist I have a lot of respect for, and I was listening to her, and I'm like, wow, she's got a great voice. And
she does. It's incredible. Okay, so next I want to ask you about, obviously I want to ask what you're watching, but we'll talk about the show Jerry too. That looks kind of interesting, and it's a family-friendly one. My guest is Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison, and we'll have a few more minutes with him coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight. He's on over the stream from Madison, Wisconsin. Tim, what should the drinking age be in Wisconsin?
What's the what?
What should the drinking age be in Wisconsin? Or 50. Anywhere?
50. I know.
You might get some pushback on that one.
I don't know. When I was young, it was 18.
Yeah.
Right? And they changed that all around to 21.
They never let us have any fun. So you have another show coming in called A Beautiful Noise to the Overture Center, a Neil Diamond musical.
Mm-hmm.
Is it crazy to me that you have a Neil Diamond musical, but Neil Diamond isn't in it? Is it just his life story and music, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's his life story. It's a biography. Nice. Kind of telling his story and playing his music. I mean, he's so prolific, right? The number of songs that he either composed or sung himself, composed or for somebody else or sung himself, is pretty incredible in our world.
He's like one of those guys that all of a sudden, I don't remember what age I was at, but all of a sudden it's like, I like every song this guy has ever sang. I didn't realize how many of them there were. You know?
I know, right? Like when I was growing up, right? I was a little too young for Neil Diamond, really.
Right,
at
same.
The beginning stages of it, right? We were a little too young.
Yeah.
And then he started doing all those duets with people. And then you start, like, even now, I never really was a follower, but when I listen to a song, I know it.
Yeah.
Right? You know them all, right?
I think it was like Solitary Man, or he had one in a Quentin Tarantino film that was Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. Yeah, it's like, you find all these songs that I didn't even know existed. I'm like, wow, this guy's great. You know?
Yeah. People are excited about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet that's now, is that one of those, like the Steve Martin one, where you have to have some kind of package, or is that?
Right now we have subscriptions on sale.
Okay.
And it's six shows in the subscription, or seven if you add Wicked.
Oh, so I saw that too. Yeah.
Wicked.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Wicked is I think it'll be our final rescheduled from COVID show. That was the show that was on our stage when we shut down.
No way.
Yeah, we got three performances in out of a 3-week run. And then the set sat there for 6 months.
That's so tragic. That's terrible.
I know. People are like, when's it coming back? And I'm like, one day. And so excited I can be able to bring it back for everybody.
It's funny you say that. Like, John McGivern was on the show last week from Around the Corner, and now he does Main Streets. And I was a guest on Around the Corner when he came up to Marinette. He interviewed me for a couple minutes. So they brought the whole crew up. We had this thing at the, you know, at the Theater on the Bay, the local place in Marinette, right on the water, beautiful space, to promote the show. And it was like, we knew everything was going to be shut down in a day or two. It was the most depressing, which should have been a really fun night, probably the same as Wicked. It's like, well, this is all ending. And what's going to happen? Is the world going to end or what? You know, it's just, I bet everybody has a memory like that of where they were.
I was actually on vacation and I was down in Florida, and I started getting texts that day from my colleague saying, we know you're on vacation, but we really need to talk to you. We're getting all this flack about Wicked going on and we should be closed and blah, 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 blah. So then I got involved with all of that, and you know, I'm like, we can't do anything. You can't do anything contractual unless there's like what we call a force majeure, right? Like something happens that's out of our control to be able to close down the show. And you know, it was very intense. And then they did close it down. And then I'm like, oh my God, am I going to get stranded in Florida? Right. And then I was like, I had a couple of days there left, and it was kind of creeping around there because people started wearing masks. And so I got to the airport for my flight, and it was like this manic, chaotic free for all, right? It was like crazy.
Like a movie.
I get on the plane and I have a window seat, and this couple comes on and sits next to me, and they were very friendly and talkative. And they said, you know, we just got off a cruise. And I'm like, don't talk to me. You're going to kill me. You know, and I was like, no.
The droplets couple. Yeah. That's funny. Hey, so tell us about the Jerry Ensemble. That's a family friendly show. That looks kind of fun.
Yeah. We have a big high school musical theater program called the Jerry's, and we have over 100 participating high school really throughout the state. And we send a team of reviewers out to see their show, and they get a written critique back about their production. And at the same time, they get nominations. And we have one more weekend of shows, and then we will announce our recipients, and we give out outstanding musicals, outstanding leads, and all of that. Nice. We have an ensemble that audition, and they go through, they're getting training in singing and everything that they do. And then they perform at various events around the community. I do this series, Cocktails with Tim and Cara. They perform at that. They performed at the season announcement. And our partner up at the Grand Theater in Wausau also has an ensemble in that region. And so it's giving these kids who are really interested in pursuing a career, you know, starting off with college, to be competitive with everyone across the country. And so it's very cool. And so they do a cabaret. They do a cabaret show once a year. And I know.
That's great.
It's our program is celebrating its 15th. Anniversary. Is that right? Yeah. 15 years. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come back, Tim, because I had more shows I wanted to ask you about. We have about a minute left. Is there something you're watching you can recommend?
Baby Reindeer. Are you watching it?
No, I know I have to watch it. Everybody's talking about it.
I don't know. I don't know if you can watch it.
I watched
two episodes. It's so intense. And in that second episode, I kept jumping when I was watching it. And I was like, I don't know if I'll go to episode 3, but I probably will because it's intriguing me.
Wow. Everybody, I've had two people on this week that have said, I have to see Baby Reindeer. So that is definitely on my list. But
I also love Kristen Wiig and Palm Royale on Apple.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either.
I think it's a fun little soapy show.
Well, next time you come back, we'll talk about the Steve Martin doc. That'll be fun.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome, buddy. Good luck with the new season. And let's talk soon.
Yep, always a pleasure.
All right, likewise. That's Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison. They have a great lineup coming up all the way into 2025. Check things out. I meant to ask him what people should rush to get tickets for right now if they're running low on seats. But anyway, we'll figure it out. Check it out. Google it. Good stuff. Coming up next, I'm going to read a couple texts, and we're going to talk to Frank Hermans. He's here in studio. He's going to sing. He's going to laugh. He's going to dance, and we're going to talk. You won't want to miss it. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groove.